Are entitled Yahweh is separating out his people out, and are you listening? It's actually called in the Hebrew bow, because that's the first important word in the Torah portion here. And the bow means to come, to go, and it can also mean to enter. From what Yahweh is showing us, he knows how to separate his people out from those in the world. As it is in the beginning, he divided the light and the darkness. He divided the water of the sky from the oceans. He divided the land from the water, and he separated man from the dirt of the earth. He divided from him the woman from the man, and out of the people of the earth he called out to Noah, and he spared mankind from destruction. Through Noah, salvation of the animals and the bird kingdoms was spared. Through Noah, Shem taught Abram the things that he would need to know about Yahweh, and he called Yahweh, and Yahweh called him out from his people. The question is, what do you do when Yahweh speaks to you? In Genesis 19:1 through 22, we read, this is concerning Lot. The two angels came to Sodom at evening. Lot, who was sitting in the gatehouse of Sodom, saw them and got up to meet them. He bowed down with his face to the ground, and he said, "See now, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night. Wash your feet, and you get up early and go on your way." And they said, "No, we will spend the night in the street." But he kept urging them, so that they came with him and entered his house, and he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city and the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both the young and the old, all the people from all parts of town, and they called to Lot and said to him, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may be intimate with them. Lot went out to them and shut the door behind him. He said, "Please, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. See now that I have two daughters who had not relations with a man. Please let me bring them to you, out to you, that you may do whatever you which seems good to you. Only do not do anything to these men, because they have come under the protection of my roof." And he said, "Get out of our way." They also said, "This fellow came to live here as an alien, and now he appoints himself as a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." They kept pushing Lot back and were ready to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and grabbed Lot and pulled them into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were pressing against the door of the house, both the young and the old, with blindness. So they wore themselves out trying to find the door. The men said to Lot, Do you have anyone else, sons-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, whoever you have in this city? Get them out of this place, for we are going to destroy this place because of the outcry against it has grown great before Yahweh. So Yahweh has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to his daughters in marriage. He said, "Get up, get out of this place, for Yahweh is going to destroy the city." But the sons-in-law seemed to be joking to them. When the dawn came, the angels urged Lot, "Get going, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, so that they will not be swept away by the guilt of the city." But Lot was taking too much time, and the men grabbed his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, and because of the Lord's compassion for him, they led him out and placed him outside of the city. Then when they had taken them out, one of them said, "Run for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains so that you are not swept away." Lot said to them, "Oh, no, oh, my Lord, see now, if your servant has found favor in your sight and have shown me great mercy by saving my life, I cannot flee to the mountains or this disaster will strike with me, stick with me, and I will die. Look to the city, to this city. It's close enough to flee to. It is a little one. Please let me flee there. Isn't it just a little one, so that my life will be saved?" The men said to him, "Very well, I have granted your request concerning this thing, so I will not overthrow the city that you have spoken about. Hurry, flee there, because I cannot do anything until you get there." So the city was named Zoar. In this we see that Lot was being called out. He was dawdling. He was trying to get his sons-in-laws, who was pledged in marriage to him, to his wife, his daughter, sorry, and they thought he was joking. That says a lot about his testimony to them. They didn't take it seriously about what he had said. But when Yahweh speaks to us, do we really listen to what he's saying? Or do we say, well, it's not today, it may not be till tomorrow, but maybe not till next year or the year after that, that we have to prepare and get ready for what when he is coming. When Yeshua was talking about this, he compared that to a time about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 wise were prepared and ready for their master to come and take them as their bride, as his bride. But the 5 foolish, he's going to come today, tomorrow. We'll have plenty of time to get all of our oil and everything that we need so that we'll just relax and take it easy. But when the sound went out that the bridegroom was ready for to receive them, the 5 foolish quickly realized they weren't ready. Are we going to be found not ready and not able to get out and do the things that we need to do when Yahweh calls us to come out of the places that we're in? When Abram was called out, he quickly left, and he didn't ask any questions as to where. Yahweh explained to him along the way where he was going to be going. But he did not ask any questions of Yahweh at that time. In Exodus 8:23, we read, "I will make a distinction between my people and your people." This is Moses speaking to Pharaoh. "Tomorrow this sign will take place. So Yahweh knows his people. He's already marked them. He knows who they are, who's going to follow him when he says, "Get up and go." Are we willing to get up and go, or are we going to be looking back like Lot's wife, who later on in the same story, we read that she looked back because she cared for the things of Sodom? Are we going to have our one hand to the plow and the other hand looking back, saying, What is going on back there? Why is it so? What is so important here that we can't get back there where we came from? In 9:4 in Exodus, we read, "But Yahweh will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of the Egyptians, so that not one of the Israelites' livestock will die." So if that's the case, all of our things will be secure if we separate it out from what the other people have. We have to listen to what he says and do what he says when he says to do it. I'm reminded while I was writing this about a story, this gentleman who was with us at the time. He spoke of a story that happened to him and his family in Oregon. There was a great fire that happened. I recall that because we were there at that time. He was being evacuated, but he didn't know there was going to be a disaster coming on him. He was separating himself and his family in a way of Shabbat. He would keep Shabbat, but the people he was with would not keep Shabbat. They would not listen to what he had to say. They didn't separate their work from Yahweh's days. They worked on the Sabbath. They did everything they weren't supposed to be doing. And yet when the fire came, because they evacuated and they were faithful, this is the people I'm talking about, they left, and the fire did not touch their house. It was a mobile home, which quickly burns up. Within minutes, the whole thing could be destroyed and melted to the ground. The fire went up to the porch, up to where the gas cylinders were at for their grill. The grill wasn't touched. The gas cylinders weren't touched. Nothing exploded. And yet the people that they were on the same property with, who did not regard Yahweh whatsoever, their house was completely destroyed. Another miracle happened was some of his tools were in the grass, and they were not harmed either. Even if the fire passed over them, they were protected. And yet the things they had in the storage house there that was mixed with the other people's stuff, they were completely destroyed. Not one tool was remained. And yet the people who owned the property, their house was completely lost. They lost everything except the mobile home, which these friends of ours had. Well, they left there, and they went on, and eventually wound up here in Jordan. Now, they walked away since then, but the story remains, the witness and the testimony. If we will do what Yahweh says to do and separate ourselves both spiritually, physically, our stuff from their stuff, because Yahweh knows what belongs to us and what belongs to the world. He protects us. He protects those who are with us. Now, Lot's stuff that was left in Sodom was completely destroyed. The stuff that they brought with them, the city was spared where they were at. Lot's wife was destroyed because she had, her heart was not with Lot. It was back in Sodom and their prestige and their honor. And everything they had there was there in Sodom. And she lost everything in an instant. She was turned to a pillar of salt. In Exodus 9:4, but Yahweh made a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of the Egyptians, in that they were not the Israelites' livestock were not destroyed. And then also we read here is that when the darkness plague came, it was all through Egypt except for one place. That's where Yahweh's people was, and that was in Goshen. They had light. Now, I don't know if it was an actual, they could see the sun, or if it was the light of Yahweh, the Spirit gave them light. I don't know. It just says they had light in Goshen. They could see everything that was going on. All around the place of Goshen, there was darkness. And yet, at the step, it was like a line there. They could cross over the line, there was light. In Ezekiel 9:1-11, it reads, and he called out in my hearing, this is Ezekiel speaking, with a loud voice saying, let the punishers of the cities draw near, each with his weapon of destruction in his hand. And look, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each one with his battle axe in his hand. And one man in their midst was clothed with linen and had a rider's inkhorn at his side. And they came in and stood beside the bronze slaughter place. And in the esteem of Elohim of Israel, I went up from the Keru where it had been and at the threshing floor. So they was at the mercy seat, and he went to the threshing floor. And he called to the man and clothed with linen. This is the Elohim, who had the rider's inkhorn at his side. And Yahweh said to him, pass on to the midst of the city, and in the midst of Jerusalem, you shall put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within. And the others, he said, in my hearing, pass on into the city after him and strike. Do not let your eye pardon nor spare, kill to destroy young and old and young men, maidens and children and women. Do not come near anyone who is marked, and begin at the set apart place, which is the temple. So that they began with the elders who were in front of the house, and he said to them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go out, and he went out and struck the city. And they, as they were striking it, it came to be that I alone was left. And he was in the temple courtyard at this time. And I fell on my face and cried out, Master Yahweh, are you destroying all the remnant of Israel? I in pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem. And he said to me, the quickeness of the house of Israel and all and I and Yahweh exceedingly great, and the land is filled with bloodshed, and the city is filled with witches warped. For they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh is not seeing. But as for me, my eye shall not pardon, nor would I spare. I shall recompense their deeds on their own head. And see, the man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back, and he said, I have done as you commanded. Are we going to be found worthy to be marked by Yahweh when the time of destruction comes? Are those who are in the place of destruction, are they ready to leave when he says to leave? Or are they going to dawdle behind and say, I have family, I have a husband, I have a wife, I have children, I have grandchildren? Or are they going to say, I have a wonderful job, I have a wonderful house? Are they going to be saying this stuff? Or are they going to be saying, I will follow you no matter where you take me? That's the question he asked us today. And that's the question that we need to answer today. Because in a time of destruction, there's not going to be time to think about what we're going to do. We need to be doing our Father's business, as he said. What will he find when he returns? Will he find us working? Are we working in the things that he's called us to do? Or are we going to be lazy servants and we'll be kicked out of the kingdom? In Matthew 13, 24 through 30, it reads, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the people were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. For the plants sprouted and produced heads of grain, and the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the owner came to him and said, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? And he said to them, an enemy did this. And the servants asked him, do you want us to go and gather up the weeds? No, he answered, because when you gather up the weeds, you might pull up the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, first gather the weeds, bind them in bundles, and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn. When we were in Jerusalem last year, I saw things that I really hadn't paid much attention to until then. And my heart was sighing because of the sin that's abounding in Jerusalem. The gay flags everywhere. The parades that were going on during Shavuot last year. The gay parades. And our responsibility as witnesses to report these things back to Yahweh. So he hears us as a witness saying, these things we have seen. There's nothing that we can do. He's the one that's going to clean the house of Israel, starting from the Temple Mount all the way through all the city. And those who are not marked, and those who are not sighing, those who are not weeping for the things that are going on in that city and around the world, they're going to be swept away if they're not careful. We can be swept away in an instant. And I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. And it goes all the way back to where we're reading at today in Exodus. Because if her sins have reached heaven, and God has remembered her crimes, pay her back even as she has paid. Pay her back double for what she has done. In the cup that she has mixed, mix her double portion. As much glory and luxury as she has gave herself, give that much torture and grief to her. Because in her heart she says, I sit as a queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day. Death, mourning, famine, and she will be burned in fire, because Yahweh, who judges her, is powerful. The kings of the earth, who has committed adultery and live in luxury with her, will weep and mourn for her when they see the smoke from her burning. They will stand far away because of terror and her torment and say, woe, woe. The great city of Babylon is a strong city, for your judgment came in a single hour. the merchants of the earth also weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargo anymore. A cargo of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet fabric, every kind of Aramaic wood, ivory article. Every article made of precious wood, brass, iron, and marble. Also cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, high quality flour, grain, cattle, sheep, horses, carriages, as well as bodies and souls of people. This fruit, the fruit of your soul desired, has left you. All your costly and splendid things have passed away from you. No one will ever find them again. The merchants who sold those things were made rich by Babylon, who will stand far away, out of terror at her torment. For they are going to weep and mourn, saying, "Woe, woe to the great city that is clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet." This is going to happen. And it's not just a city called Babylon. This is referring to the destruction of, I believe, America. I was reading some articles over this past week, and they talk about the prophecies given about America. And God loves America because America at one point was a godly nation. When we have presidents after presidents saying America is not a godly nation, they're not Christians. They are whatever they are. Her destruction is going to come so quick that their heads are going to spin on their necks, and they're not going to know what's happened until it already happened. Another prophecy I heard about today was that there'll be those taken as slaves. We were much wanting everybody to do our bidding as Americans. And yet, when it comes right down to it, we deserve this penalty because we let it happen. We can ask for forgiveness, and maybe he'll spare us. Maybe he'll spare our children who are taking part of this whole thing. The merchants who are getting rich off of her will turn against her. They won't know what to do. They can't help. The destruction is going so quick. The fire is going to reach up to the heavens, and people are going to die as a result. And it's not just particularly America. It's going to be all those who fell under her spell. What are you going to do when he says, "Leave her now"? Are you going to be able to leave? Are you going to be able to walk away? Or are you going to leave and half-heartedly do it and then turn around and turn your back from where he wants you to go to where you were at and you be destroyed? Just as Lot's wife was destroyed. It grieves me to hear all these things because I know the time is growing short. And as much as I tell people, they are not listening. Oh, it's just this stuff has been going on for years. Well, I was in the military and I've seen things that it shouldn't have happened. And yet it happened. Our government telling us we have to allow these people into our military now. We have to embrace them. Not just endure them. We had to embrace them. We had to allow them to do what they wanted to do. And no repercussions. Our military has turned to a bunch of wimps. And when the time comes, there's not going to be anybody there to protect us. And that's, like I said, it's not just America, it's Europe. All those who have turned their backs to God and those who are heading towards God, he's going to protect. And he'll protect those who are there. I believe that. But it's going to come at a very high price. Just as much as the person I was talking about before. Their house was spared, and yet in the end, they walked away. And it's just like, why? You had such a great testimony, you walk away. This is like Yahweh's talking to Ezekiel earlier on, before this passage was reading. He said, "If I tell you this man will surely live and he sins and he dies in his sins, yes, he will pay the consequences, but his blood will be on your hands." I think we should warn them. That's our responsibility. In Matthew, it talks about if we don't do that, then we're just as guilty as them that did it. So in this whole thing, Pharaoh's heart was hardened over and over again. And then he hardened his own heart. And then at one point, it said that they hardened their heart. Pharaoh and his court, the leaders of Egypt, hardened their hearts. And when that happened, Yahweh said, that's it. You may want this to end, but I'm going to have you see it through. We can be so defiant that he says, okay, you're going to get what you want. You're not going to like the results of it. Egypt was totally destroyed. Military, financial, all their goods were destroyed. Why? Because they did not want to let the children of Israel to go. They defied God. They first said, we don't know who he is. Well, later on, they found out who he was, and he was more powerful than their fake gods were. What are we holding on to? Are we going to allow this to happen to us as well? Are we going to waver in our responsibility to stand up against this day? These people are going to push on us and push on us and push on us. And he said that even the very elect could be deceived if the time wasn't cut short. What are we going to do? It said all of Israel left. Every single one of them. They were left with no workforce, Egyptians. They left. And when they finally realized what had happened to them, they got a report that they were there by the Red Sea. They were trapped on by the water and the land. They were in a wadi. And I've seen wadis, you can't get it like a canyon. There's no way up. There's no way back. It's totally closed in. And Pharaoh had them cornered. He always says, oh, no, you're not going to go away that easily. He provided a way out for his children. Pharaoh's army was destroyed that day. Never again did he chase us again. Oh, we made some silly mistakes along the way. Jehoshaphat lost his life because he would not allow the Pharaoh to go and pursue what Yahweh told him to pursue. We could be that silly, arrogant. Or are we going to listen to what God said to do? Continue on, said, they said, who is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, and they wept and mourned, saying, woe, woe to the great city by whom we all have. They all cried out and mourned, and they said this again. We have ships on the sea that made us rich from her treasures, because she was made a wasteland in a single hour. And when I was in the military, I said, how could this be? I read this back in before in the 80s, I read in the 70s. I didn't understand this. How could it be? But today's technology is very possible. Very possible. They can launch a missile, hypersonic missile, and it could go from out in the middle of the Atlantic to the East Coast in a matter of minutes. There's no longer 45 minutes, minutes, seconds in some places, and they get close enough to the shorelines, and destruction is going to come pretty quick. It's not just going to be from the bombs, it's going to be from floods, from tsunamis. And it's like, this is the day. This is the time we need to prepare our hearts and get ready for what Yahweh has for us. We need to be ready and willing to work as Noah did. He built an ark in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the land, and everybody mocked him, ridiculed him, until the day the water started coming. It started coming up, the rain started coming down. They never saw it before. And when it was, then they said, oh, we'll repent. It was too late. It was too late. When God shuts the door, no man's going to open it. But when Yahweh opens the door, no man can shut it. Walk through those doors. Go through the windows if that's all that's there and leave. Do what he says to do. Don't tarry. Don't wait. Don't speculate. Well, today, we got plenty of time. Things look really good. Yes, I can imagine. But it's going to come to a point in time you can't even get this basic stuff. I heard a report that a dozen eggs cost $8 in the States. Not here where we're at. Hasn't touched us yet. In all the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, Yahweh has been separating all of his from the kingdom of darkness. All of his possessions, everything that he separated out, he separated the light from the darkness, the waters from the waters, the land from the sea. Everything was separated. He separated his out of what the enemy claimed. He was trying to get the whole thing. You know, he says, no, you're not. I'm out from this mess that you made. I'm going to make a people for myself, a bride for my son, Yeshua. And he did that. And what has the bride done since then? Well, you look at Israel, and you can see what she has done. We've profaned his name. We became prostitutes. We sold our souls for what? A little morsel of bread. Is the voice of the bridegroom, back to Revelation, the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will never be heard from you again. This is the destruction. Because your merchants were the great ones of the earth, because your witchcraft led the nations astray, and the blood of the prophets and the saints was found in this city. It's not just Babylon that was over in Iraq. It's all over the world. Those who ascribe to the system of the beast, those who ascribe to the system of Babylon, it's religious, financial, it's in everything that we do, everything we speak about. Is permeating everything. And there are people who are frankly getting sick and tired of it. America, Babylon, is going to fall. And it's a matter of Yahweh knows the day and the hour. We just need to get ready for it. So, what will you do? Has he already called you out? Do you know not all of Israel left Egypt? In Jeremiah's day, those who were left in Jerusalem, on their own, returned to Egypt, and they all died. They mocked God and said, oh, we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. Did you not know that? Our husbands knew that. And Jeremiah died in the process because they wouldn't listen to him. They didn't want to hear him anymore. They cut him in half. They were so arrogant. Yahweh would have spared them, and yet they snubbed their noses to Yahweh and insulted him greatly. Be careful that you do not end in the same fate. This is the end of today's teachings. I would like to end this with Yahweh's blessing on you and your family. It's in Numbers 6:24-27. Yahweh bless you and keep you. And Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And Yahweh look upon you with favor and give you peace. And this way you'll put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. And that's all I have.